Hey, it's good to see everybody. Happy Sunday. It's great to be together. And before we dive into our sermon this morning, I wanted to say good morning. And I wanted to introduce you to an absolute delightful friend of mine, Ginny Olson, who is going to be preaching for us this morning. Ginny is an absolute gift to us today. Can I just gush on you for a little bit? I hope that's okay. So Ginny and I have known each other since, I believe, the mid-90s, late 90s, something of that nature. When we met, Ginny was the director of the Center for Youth Ministry Studies at North Park University in Chicago, which is, for those of you who don't know, the Covenants University in Chicago. And she was there for many, many years. Prior to that, led this small youth ministry at a church called Willow Creek. You might have heard of that church before. Ginny has authored many books around youth ministry, adolescent development, all sorts of different things. And then, I don't know, how many years ago did you move to Minnesota, back to Minnesota? 13 years ago, she moved up and became the youth ministry director here at the Northwest Conference. And she is native Edina in, how do we say that exactly? I'm a little tired, I'm not sure. Yep, that's right. Is your microphone clicked on, by the way? Just double check that. So she's from Edina, and she's been attending here for the last couple of weeks and enjoying our community. And I asked her to preach this morning, particularly because I was getting off a plane about 5:30 this morning, which did happen. Yep. And I'm just so glad that Ginny gets to share the word. And so I'm going to pray for her, and then she's going to bless us with a word today. So God, we just thank you for Ginny. We thank you so much for her ministry, this incredible friendship that we've had for over 30 years, God. I'm just so thankful for her, thankful for the word that you've given to her for us today. And I want to pray, Lord, that you would use her to continue to stoke the fire that we have for our missional calling to invest in the emerging generation, these incredible children and youth that we have all around us. Thank you for the great words that we've heard from our kids today. And I pray, Lord, that you would use Ginny to instruct our hearts and our minds today. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Would you give Ginny a hand and welcome her to the stage?
Good to be here. Sorry, if you just saw that little frantic motion, it's because my notes just went absolutely blank. So we're good. We'll go off of this, and hopefully you guys are gracious and forgive a couple of little hiccups and bumps along the way. As Tim said, I've been coming on and off this summer just visiting. I live just a couple miles away. If you know where the ski jump is, I live up by the ski jump. That's the big landmark, and have found this just to be this wonderful, warm, intergenerational church. And I love watching the elders to the littles and the communication that goes on in between. So it is a joy to be with you and talk about just what it means to understand Gen Alpha and Gen Z. This is kind of my area of specialty right now. As Tim said, I've been doing youth ministry for a long time. I find that adolescence is just one of the most fascinating stages in life. So many big decisions are being made. So much development is happening. And it has been a lifetime serving as youth pastors, as a professor, and all sorts of different things. And those of you who are teenagers right now, I love talking to you and hearing just kind of what you're going through and what you're trying to deal with. So but there's some generational stuff that's happening, and I think with where New City is, that this might be helpful. So let's look here. Psalm 78 says, "We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about this glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders." There is something about generations telling generations, and to think that those of us here in the room are here because somebody else told us, and the generations, and somebody told that generation, going all the way back to Jesus. Somebody was faithful to say, this is the good news of Jesus, and we are here celebrating that because of that. So, question of the day, you've already asked one, which is, what is the big news event that you remember? But also, how can we as the church understand Gen Alpha and Gen Z in a meaningful way? This is really important for the church. There are some major shifts going on in our culture. And we need to learn as the church, how do we understand these two emerging generations? Now, Some of you may be like you are in this kayak where it's like, okay, I'm going with the flow, I'm confident, I've navigated that. Some of our elders, you guys have experience. You have navigated rapids. You know the map. You know how to deal with all these rapids. Some of you feel like this. It's like, I have no idea what this technology is, what these words are that they're saying. I do not understand. It feels like incredible rapids. Now, some of you who are Gen Alpha and Gen Z, you're like, I get this. This is my world. Technology does not freak me out. The stuff that's going on in culture, I can navigate these cultures. But when you have to talk to your parents or your grandparents, you feel like this. I have no idea what you're saying. I don't understand what you went through. And so hopefully we can get to this place today where it's like, okay, we can be calm and understand each other. A lot of what goes on with understanding across generations is understanding cultures, different cultures. Jim Pluteman, who is a professor of mine back in the day in Wheaton, came up with these principles. And not only did they fit going around the world, they fit going across cultures. And that is, first, to listen and observe. Listen and observe without judgment, which is very hard to do. But here's what happens when we move into a place of judgment. Well, this generation is... they are lazy, they are unfocused, they're this. We stop learning because we've made our judgment. Why do we need to learn anymore? And so the key is to listen and to observe without judgment, to work at learning the language, to don't fix what's not broken. We may not like what another generation is doing, but don't necessarily try to fix it if it's not broken. Employ empathy. Help me understand why you behave this way, why you speak this way, and then start with God's ultimate purpose and view of people and let them come up with their own convictions. So resting in what is God's almighty power and how do we rest in that and let this generation come up with their own convictions. So I want to focus on one just for a minute, and that is work at learning the language. So we are going to play a little game here. Intergenerational slang challenge. What does that word mean? So, if you have a piece of paper or a phone, however you want to keep score, it's up to you. There is only participation prizes at the end, no trophy. So, but we'll see. There's a series of questions, and we'll see how you do. So, I'll read these off. First one, we're going to look at boomer slang. How many people are willing to say, we're boomers? Baby boomers here. Okay, if you want to win, you need to get over to this section right over here. They will have the clue. Okay, so first question. If a boomer says far out, it means something strange or weird, cool or amazing, very distant or boring. Okay. Boring, I'm hearing. How many say it is B, cool or amazing? Any non-boomers get that one? Okay, we did get some. Okay, what does groovy mean? Does it mean boring, out of style, stylish, or crazy? If something is groovy, C, you are correct. Stylish. Well done. Okay, and boomer, last one. What does the skinny mean? Somebody uses that. Does it mean to spill the tea? Does it mean tight jeans? Elvis in his younger days, mad or upset? What do you think it is? A is correct, to spill the tea. And if you don't know what spill the tea is, you'll need to talk to a Gen Zer. Okay, so let's move to Gen X. How many Gen Xers do we have? Okay, Gen X. If a Gen Xer says gnarly, it means something is difficult or dangerous, gross or disgusting, amazing or impressive, both A and C. It is D, both A and C. Okay. If a Gen Xer says chill, it means to relax or calm down. to stand in front of the fridge too long deciding what to eat. They've forgotten their phone at home again. They found 20 bucks in their pocket. A. Yep, correct. Bogus means a mythical monster that lives between couch cushions. Something's fake. Another word for Hawaiian pizza or a sock goblin. B. Correct. Okay, millennials. How many millennials do we have? Okay, this is good. Millennials. If a millennial uses the word lit, it means boring, exciting or awesome, scary or confusing. Boomers, what do you think it means? B. You are correct. Well done. See, cross-cultural group here. What does adulting mean? Playing video games all day, the moment you find yourself researching dishwashers to buy, going to bed early. It is actually me. You are doing adult things. Although going to bed early, that is debatable. So I'll give you, if you got a C, I'll count that as right too. If someone is extra, they are hilarious, they are over the top dramatic, or they are not invited to the party. They are B. Well done. Okay, let's move to Gen Z. How many Gen Zers do we have in the room? We got a couple. Okay. Let's see. Gen Z, for I'm serious, is FOMO, shook, sus, or no cap? It is no cap. Okay, if you can't stop thinking about someone or something, a Gen Z person would say this is chuggy, extra, living rent-free, or snatched. It is C. They are living rent-free in your head. The person you're suddenly interested in, suddenly stops calling and answering your texts. They are flexing, ghosting, salting, simping. I heard ghosting. Okay, now, how are we doing? Let's look at alpha. How many alphas do we have here? We got a bunch of them. Okay, if Gen Alpha says someone is has riz, it means they have charm or game, they're confused, they're messed up, they need to brush their teeth. It is, Tim, are you getting this wrong? They have charm or game. If Gen Alpha says Skibbity Ohio riz to you, is it an insult or a compliment? How many think it is a compliment? How many of you think it's an insult? Skibbity Ohio Riz is an insult. And you can talk to a Gen Alpha after church and find out why that is an insult. If a Gen Alpha starts mewing, does it mean they're a furry? Does it mean they're trying to imitate a cat? Does it mean they're trying to show off their jawline? Does any Gen Alpha want to come up here and show them what mewing is? You want to come up? Would you be willing? Okay, come on up. Because this is a visual. Mewing is... Well done. You are showing off your jawline. So, results. How many of you out of the 15 got 15? Very impressive. Like I said, thank you for participating. There is no prize. But this is part of it, is learning the different language. And again, suspending judgment. There, every generation has words that are like, what on earth are you talking about? Generations, typically they're defined recently by marketing firms. Marketing firms are like, especially when kind of the classic generation shifted to baby boomers and we had that huge baby boom, marketers said there's something different in their buying habits. We need to study it. And then they noticed all of a sudden the baby boom dropped off, and that was Gen X, and there were different buying habits there. So know that a lot of this comes out of the business world where they're saying, what's happening? What are the different patterns? Pew Research says over 15 to 20 years. The generation typically has some similar characteristics over time. And that's why I wanted to ask the question, what news event do you first remember? Because that is a marking moment for people. Whether it's 9/11 or it's COVID or something else, that will mark that generation and it will form how they will grow up. We will see ripple effects of some of these news stories. So let's first of all, I'm going to talk fast here. So understanding their world, it's important to do a deeper dive and say, what is with these two generations? And I kind of am lumping them together a little bit just because Gen Alpha is so young that we have not yet found a lot of research on them. The jury is still out. People are still trying to figure out how is this generation different. So there's some overlap here. But let's take a look at Gen Z. They were born mid-1990s to about 2010s. And they are about 20% or so of the population. Gen Z now is in the workforce. And so oftentimes people think Gen Z is middle school and high school, and the reality is they are high school and beyond. And so they are, like we said, Gen Z people here. They are working, and here's some of their things that make them unique. Diversity is their norm. So they will be the last generation in the United States that is the majority white, only 51%. And we'll see this as we look at Gen Alpha, a big switch when it comes to diversity. Let me go back here. They, most of them, more and more come from immigrant families. So that is some of their roots. This is a graphic by an Australian marketing firm. And what I find interesting, they have all sorts of interesting facts here, but over here on the left, it says qualities valued in a leader, approachable, clear communication, and empathy. Now think about your generation and what were the qualities you valued. Oftentimes with boomers or those older than boomers, they'll say, respectability, a sense of authority. We hear more of the hierarchy. And as the generations change, we watch what they look for in a leader change. What are their top fears? I'm not going to have enough money to live comfortably. Never being able to own my own home and being stuck in a job that I don't find fulfilling. So they have been formed by social media. This sprang up when they were kids, and this has been part of their life. They have had a digital presence online since sometimes before they were born, when their parents put up sonograms and ultrasounds, and even before they had a name, they had a digital presence online. It has formed them. They are also a generation that is marked by activism. They are the generation who grew up with let's just say some issues going on in school that has caused a lot of fear. And so they have been marked by this and saying, we have got to stand up for some safety issues, also some climate issues. Greta Thunberg, I don't think I pronounced that right, is one of the Gen Z, just well-known people, young woman from Sweden who said, we have to do something about climate change. This is affecting us. It's a generation that was marked by the recession. And so they know what it's like to have their family really trying to figure out how did we switch from having resources to having no resources, and what does that mean for our future? Watching their parents lose jobs with mass layoffs in their company and going, oh, loyalty is not what my grandparents' generation thought it was in a company. So they're marked by recession. They are marked by terrorism and alarm and war all around the world. So this has been what they have known. And I would also say they are marked by generation known by gender fluidity. That's a new term that came about really with Gen Z. And so that gives you kind of a sense of what has formed them. There's other factors as well, quick overview. But also, let's take a look at Gen Alpha, born 2010, 2013 till today. So they will be, this actually, Generation Alpha, they're predicting, ends in December of this year, December 31st. So when that comes along, they will be the largest generation in history. Over 2 billion in this generation. So they are a force. Top countries of birth are India, China, and Nigeria. They are used to being diverse. And like I said, with Gen Z, how they were 51% majority white, that now switches to, in the U.S., 49% white. The minority is now the majority in the U.S. So different dynamics in what's happening. This is a generation that grew up talking to Siri and Alexa and others. And so this is a generation that with artificial intelligence, it will come very easily for them. This is their language. Mark McCrindle, who is the researcher coming out of Australia, says they are the most materially endowed and technologically literate generation to ever grace the planet. They know a lot. You know, if you try to set up your phone or your iPad or your computer, you can tap your kid and ask them. I've been in Costco and I've watched kids sitting in the front of the grocery cart going like crazy on their phone. And my 89-year-old mother going, how do they know to do this? That's, they just intuitively know. They see a glass and they immediately touch it because they think I can interact with it. It is a generation that has grown up looking at the world through glass. Pros and cons. Again, we seek to understand without judgment. We seek to understand without judgment. What are the implications of that? Another thing about this Generation Alpha is a diversity in family structures. There are all sorts of different families. No longer is it just, is it a dual parent family or single parent, but we have grandparents entering into the mix. We have a community entering in the mix. We have multiple sets of parents, and it is redefining family. Something for the church to think about when we talk about family ministry. Gen Alpha is going, what kind of family are you talking about? And if somebody, a parent of an Alpha comes in and you talk about family ministry, they're sitting there listening going, are you talking about my kind of family? Is there a place for me here? It just means that we have to be more sensitive as a church when we talk about family. I'm single, I don't have any kids that I know of, and I remember visiting a church and they were talking about family. They're going to have a family picnic afterwards. And I thought, I was brand new, and I thought, oh, I'm not included because I don't have a family with me. And then they paused and they said, let us tell you how we define family. If you are sitting here in a chair, you are part of our family. Everybody here is family. And it was just that little nuance, that little explanation that said, I am welcome here. And that's going to be very important as we look at the church. So it appears that never before has there been such a passionate and intense relationship and borderline obsessive relationship between two generations as the ones between millennials and Generation Alpha. If you have heard about, we've heard about helicopter families or parents, right, who hover. And these are the snowplow parents. I will go before my kid and plow any obstacle out of their way. And it's an interesting effect on kids. And we'll talk about that a little in just a little bit. We will talk about also this Generation Alpha. Having come through COVID, what they're beginning to see is this is a generation that is very interested in health, healthy things, green, taking care of the planet. So what we saw a little bit of Gen Z, we're really beginning to see in Alpha about care for the planet. So let's talk about, where am I going to go? Okay, let's talk about this. Let's go to common threads here. Here's what we're seeing between these generations. So common thread is technology and social media with these generations. They are both born in a post-internet world. Love this old cartoon. I never asked Pierce what his dad's job is. I think he does something with computers. As opposed to what? This is just who they are. This has been part of their life for a long time. As I said before, Generation Glass. They look, they don't know when they haven't been able to look at someone through their phone. In fact, the youth pastor was sharing, her kids were talking and say, wouldn't it be great if on my phone I could like just call and like leave a message, a voice message without having to text them? It's like, that's called voicemail. Didn't know. They're just so used to texting. Here's some other things about this generation. Three ways teens communicate most often with their closest friends. They still do communicate face-to-face, 25% by text, and only 20% by live calls. How many of you have kids or grandkids that will not pick up the phone? And by that, even saying pick up is an old school reference, but they will not answer the phone if you call. Okay, yep. In fact, I know parents who are like, I will call my kids and they will text me back saying, what do you want? I am not going to talk to you. Again, different styles of communication. Possible ripple effect of this is a generation that doesn't necessarily know how to do interpersonal communication. One of the schools over in, universities over in St. Paul, I can't remember St. Kate's or St. Thomas, was noticing their incoming students didn't know how to have a conversation. And so they actually set up for the first year students these learning times where they would put tall back chairs face to face and they would say, you have to set your phone outside the chairs and look at each other and have a 5-minute conversation. They were had to teach kids, this is how you talk to each other. We're noticing, I was talking with the director of counseling for a large university in California, and she said, our students do not want to do group counseling, only individual. They do not know how to interact. And I said, what's going to happen when this generation hits the workforce? And she said, it is going to be a mess. So that is one thing to be aware of with Gen Z, is how do we engage them in conversation? How do we help them to work through conflict? This is a generation that was used to, if I don't like the conversation, I leave the text thread. I shut down this conversation. I leave this online group. They don't necessarily know what it takes to push through uncomfortable feelings and have the hard conversation. I help lead a high school leadership camp up in the northern woods, up in the Boundary Waters. And the theme this last summer came from one of our high school students. I said, it's like, how are you going into this week of canoeing and leadership and camping? And she goes, I can do hard things. I can do hard things. And that became the mantra among these high school students, is I can do hard things. And we began to see their resilience build up. I realize I'm saying, coming down a little bit on Gen Z, I want to say parents and grandparents, we also have to be aware of our cell phone and social media usage. I've seen a lot of families out at restaurants and everybody is on their phone. And so we have to model, when I am with you, I am present. And research shows that if you have your phone, even if it's upside down on the table during a meal or an interaction, the conversation stays shallow. So if you want to have deeper conversations with your kids, your grandkids, put your phone away, put it in a pocket, turn it off and say, I am present with you. We have to model, this is what it means. So a common thread that we're also seeing with these generations is anxiety. Jonathan Haidt became famous recently just through his bestseller of The Anxious Generation, talking again about how the high level of anxiety with, and this ties into social media as well, just a nervousness and dealing with anxiety like never before. How much stress do you feel in a typical week? In the U.S., the top is a great deal of stress, then much stress, some amount, a little, and no stress. Those are the three layers. At the very top, the U.S. leads at 12% of teenagers they surveyed said, I feel a great amount of stress. And then right below that, 29% say, I feel much stress. So they are constantly living with a certain level of anxiety for all sorts of different reasons. But part of it is, it's very feasible for them to have every embarrassing moment of their life filmed and put out on social media. And so there's this sense of, do I dare take a risk? Because if I take a risk, it's very likely I'll be mocked. And so they go to school going, what's going to happen? That's just one piece. There are other things that are causing anxiety. They're found that one out of three high school students or young people feels completely alone much of the time. So while they might have a lot of friends online, they are socially connected. They are emotionally lonely. And so even if your kids are like, wow, they Instagram, TikTok, ton of followers, check in. How are they doing emotionally? Do they have people who care? Another common thread is tolerance. This is a very tolerant generation, except when it comes to business and service. Gen Z does not give second chances. Either it works or it doesn't, and then they're on to something else. This is important as a church to realize we may have one opportunity when a Gen Z person comes in the door. Do they like us? Do they not like us? How do we deal with that? Just to be aware of it. It's important to reach out, to greet, to be friendly. Another common thread is families. I talked about the diversity of families, and here's some of them. Single parents, dual parents, step families, grandparent, parent, foster, same gender, multi-generational, working class versus middle class, all sorts of different aspects. Again, how does that impact how we do this? And then skipping to morality and faith. This comes out of Springtide. They do a ton of research. And myth or truth, Gen Z isn't spiritual or religious. What do you think? Myth? It is a myth. 77% say they do consider themselves spiritual. 68% say they're religious. Myth or truth, Gen Z isn't turning to faith communities. What do you think? Myth? Truth? Truth. They are not. 50% do not turn to their faith communities in times of uncertainty. Another myth or truth, Gen Z doesn't care what we think. Truth. I heard several generational answers to that one, and they differed. Myth. 41% trust caring adults. This is, again, the church where we cross generations, we reach across. And some people in a church, it's like, I'm too old, my kids are grown, I don't really know anybody, what is my role? Your role is even to shake somebody's, a kid's hand, to stop and remember their name and say, how did your choir concert go this week? Very simple question. It's said if a kid has five key adult relationships in their life, they are much more likely to succeed, but there's also connections. And if a kid has about 20 to 30 loose connections, people who know their name, Jonah, I now know Jonah's name, and you did a fabulous job reading. There's those loose connections, asking a kid, again, how their week went, also helps them stay connected and stay healthy. A youth worker said, and he's in his 70s now, and he said, kids are drawn to the oldest person in the room who they know they that person cares for them. A kid is drawn to the oldest person in the room who they know cares about them. Do not count yourself out of ministry with this generation just because you are older. So, in our last 2 minutes, how do we weave these threads together? And this goes, again, going back to this verse in Psalm, we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds. Creating moments as a church, how can we share stories? What you guys do for lunch after church is a powerful time of sitting with others and saying, let me tell you what God has done. It's important to be able to celebrate the strengths. Jamie, I loved what you put together with the youth choir and with the readings. You celebrate the different generations, and that is vital as a church. You guys are doing really, really well. Other ideas is to emphasize a parent ministry. Alpha parents are really concerned about their kids, and millennials are concerned about their alpha kids. And so how do we help these parents? I remember hearing one parent who said, I'm really scared of screwing my kid up. How do we come alongside these parents and say, we are here to support you, encourage you, and pray for you? To have resources that show different diversity, to cultivate community, and to recognize this generation needs hope. They are a generation that is anxious, but they also have an inner strength. How do we pull that hope out of them and tell them about the hope of Jesus? So what comes after this? Generation Beta starts January 1st. New generation to study, new generation to reach out for. So let me pray. You guys have listened quickly. I really appreciate that. This is more of a lecture than it is a sermon, but I appreciate your willingness to hang with me. I'm serious when I say visiting this church, I just see so much potential in this place to really build bridges with Generation Z and Generation Alpha. So join me in prayer. God, thank you for being the God that weaves tapestries of generations, the generations that are here in this room, but generations throughout history, as we look back and see the faithfulness of Paul and Timothy and Lydia and so many others who have passed your message of salvation and hope to the next generation. God, give us wisdom and creativity to know, how do I learn the language and the angst and the hopes of this next generation so they know how to hear and listen for your voice? I am grateful for this church and the way they are seeking after you. Bless them as they continue to seek to reach the community. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.